My Mac Mini Podcast number 11. I'm Tim Robertson, and this podcast is sponsored by SmallDog.com and Innotech.com. This week, David Cohen's Fenestration number 11, and we find out which Macs David uses. John Nemirovsky's Reviews You Can Use That Won't Make You Snooze has changed its name into the much more manageably named All Over the Mac. This reflects on what John will be doing here on the podcast, which is much more than just reviews. Three Mac guys alone in a hotel room continue this week with Chad, Guy, and myself. So what do three married guys do all alone in a hotel room at night? Geek out and talk about technology, of course. This segment was actually recorded a day before our 100th podcast. What do you do with an old third-generation FireWire iPod? Robert has a great solution this week and with his speedy review, so pay attention. You're really going to probably get a... I think that was a really cool segment that he did this week, and something really handy, something that I'm going to have to look into myself. And of course, we end the show with Guy Searle's Not Mac News. That's the segment that is full of disinformation and outright BS, as only Guy can write it.
Hello, this is David Cohen, and I'm the London Bureau Chief for MyMac.com. Welcome to Fenestration, my guide to using a Mac in a Windows world. It's occurred to me as I've reviewed the previous fenestrations I've done that I've never actually explicitly defined what Macs I use. My principal work machine is a 1.83GHz white MacBook. This is the machine that I use when I'm in the office and when I'm on the road for my clients. It's not supplied by my company, it is my own machine. They gave me a Dell for my use, but I'd prefer to use a Mac, and so I bought my own MacBook. As those of you who've listened to the previous fenestrations will probably figure out, I have this machine configured with a copy of Parallels running Windows XP for the times that I need to run Windows applications, and then I obviously have the OS X environment on there as well. I don't have Bootcamp on that particular machine. I have tried Bootcamp in the past, but I find Parallels does pretty much everything that I need on the Intel MacBook, so I stick with that as a smoother environment for me. I've upgraded the MacBook with 2GB of RAM and a 100GB hard drive. I find that this is a perfectly serviceable machine for pretty much everything that I want to do with it. I did have a MacBook Pro when they were first launched, but I found the MacBook works as a better form factor for me when I'm working on the road. Having used both machines, I would have to say that unless you really, really need the extra graphic support or the slightly larger screen on the MacBook Pro, I think the MacBook does 90% of what the MacBook Pro can do, but for only 50% of the money. At home I have a PowerMac G5 1.8GHz dual processor machine. It has 1.25GB of RAM and far too much hard disk space, provided by two large internal drives and a variety of USB and firewire devices. Obviously as my home machine, I don't tend to do too much work stuff on it, though I do have a nice big 20-inch widescreen monitor on that particular machine, so on occasion, if I'm working from home, I might use it to work on documents rather than on the MacBook because it's a more comfortable working experience. I also own a PowerBook G3, one of the most recent Pismo models before they moved to the titanium and aluminium PowerBooks. That's a very old 400 MHz machine that I use effectively as a beta. It's a machine that I carry with me when I'm concerned that I might lose or damage a machine because of the environment I'm working in. The plan for that one is to use it when I go away on holiday so I can do some basic picture editing and pick up podcasts and that sort of thing while I'm away. Now I mentioned that my MacBook has 2GB of RAM in it. The reason I upgraded to 2GB was because of Rosetta. Rosetta, as most people will know, is the translation technology built into the Intel version of OS X. It's an incredible piece of software. Completely transparently, in the background on an Intel Mac, it will take any PowerPC application and translate it on the fly into instructions that the Intel Mac can run. The fact that it can do this at all is pretty impressive. The fact that it can do it with a relatively small performance penalty, bearing in mind what it's actually doing, is absolutely amazing. Microsoft Office on the Mac platform is still a PowerPC application, so when I run it on my Intel Mac, it is running under Rosetta. And it works pretty well, all things considered. However, before I bought the machine, I was aware that Rosetta is a bit of a memory hog. And if you think about it, that actually makes sense. What Rosetta has to do is it has to load itself into memory, then it has to load the entire PowerPC application into memory, and then what it has to do is start translating that PowerPC application on the fly. So it will make sense for everything that it translates to be stored, once it's put into Intel form, into an application cache to help performance. This is what Rosetta does, and of course it means for every application you run, the application will consume somewhat more than double the memory it would consume if you're running it on a PowerPC platform. Consequently, memory is a really big deal on the Intel platform. It's fortunate it's as cheap as it is nowadays. It wasn't desperately expensive for me to upgrade my MacBook to 2GB, though I would recommend if you're going to do that, that you don't do it through Apple, unless you're particularly averse to opening the machines up. It's really simple to put the memory into a MacBook, and it's a lot cheaper to buy it from somebody other than Apple. If you have a MacBook Pro, it's the same deal. It's a relatively simple operation to put the memory in. So that's great. Word will run on an Intel Mac using Rosetta, and you can edit your Word documents, share them with your Windows users, whatever you want to do with your Intel Mac, no problem, without having to look at Windows applications for Office. Well, not quite. The work I do involves generating quite large documents in Word. They're typically 50 pages plus, a fair bit of embedded documentation, embedded graphics, that sort of thing put into them. So they're reasonably complex documents. I tend to work in a mode where I have the document map open at the side of the screen all the time so I can move around the document very easily without doing a lot of scrolling. However, Word is not particularly memory efficient, particularly when it's got complex documents open. And I have found if you get a 50-60 page document with a few complexities in it on an Intel Mac running Word under Rosetta, it starts to choke a little. It's still usable, but it's not really very pleasant. It really starts to slow down, and moving around the document becomes quite painful. You do occasionally get the odd, unusual slowdown as well, where in fact the thing just stops completely for 5-10 seconds. Now, as I mentioned, I do occasionally work on these sorts of documents at home, so I did a little bit of a test and loaded a document where I'd seen these problems on my MacBook onto my G5 at home, and it was nothing like the same sort of performance. It was just fantastic. It was zipping all over the place. Now obviously, if you're running Word under Parallels in an XP session, you don't see those sorts of memory problems or the slowdown, because again, you haven't got that memory overhead and the machine isn't having to do that translation piece of effort the Rosetta has to do. The long and the short of it is, if you're working on complex documents and you have an Intel Mac, I would recommend taking a long hard look at Parallels XP and a copy of the Windows version of Microsoft Office to, as your working environment. Alternatively, if you have a PowerPC Mac, a G5 or G4, even a G3, and you're opening large Word documents and you've got plenty of memory on your machine, then you've got a leg up on the newer Intel machines, because you'll see far better performance under Office, under OS X, than the Intel machines will. This situation is likely to remain the same until Microsoft gets a Office 2007 for Mac shipped. Now, the latest I've seen on the web this week is they're not planning to do that till 6 months after the Windows version ships. The Windows version is due to ship in January, so it's really going to be the middle of the next year before Intel Macs start running Word documents under OS X really effectively. My experience is you can see the same sort of performance degradation for Excel files and PowerPoint files, and of course you would expect that because the problem is the same for each of those under OS X or under Intel. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned the CodeWeaver software that allows you to run Windows applications under OS X natively without running Windows. So I've been playing with the beta of that as well. It's currently on beta 2, and it is quite an amazing product that it actually works as well as it does. But unfortunately, the performance problems I'm seeing under Rosetta are broadly reflected in the beta code for CodeWeaver software, so there's no saving grace there. One comment I would make as well is if you have an even older Mac than a G4, I mentioned I've got a G3 laptop that I'm looking at the moment. I've got a little bit of testing left to do, but it certainly looks like on a G3 running OS 9, if you're running Microsoft Office 2001, you will see similar document performance as to running later versions of Office under OS 10 on a faster machine. As I say, I've still got some testing to do, and my plan is to do a couple of fenestration segments on my OS 9 and Windows in the future. That's going to do it for this session. As always, questions or comments to davidcohen@mymac.com. Until the next time.
We've decided to change the name of my segment here on the MyMac.com mini podcast. Hi everybody, John Nemirovsky here, commonly known as Nemo. And from now on, my contribution will go under the name as All Over the Mac. Because since from now on, I'll be doing more interviews and more opinion pieces in addition to audio reviews, we thought we would rename my segment to reflect the changes and the new direction that it's taking. On October 11th of 2004, more or less 2 years ago as I record this, I posted a review in our features side of some software from a company called Viva Media, and it was created by a well-known composer and educator named Morton Subotnick, and it was called Morton Subotnick's Hearing Music Tutorial CD Review from October 11th of 2004. Well, Mr. Subotnick and his collaborators have been busy since then, because just this week I received a CD installer that works either on Windows or Macintosh called Morton Subotnick's Playing Music. The cost is $30, and you can purchase it or learn more about it at their website, which is viva-media.com, and we will have information on this software and the website on our own show notes. By the way, Viva Media does also produce some terrific educational and entertainment games for people of all ages. They're particularly strong on educational and children's materials. Anyway, concerning playing music, it's a CD, not a DVD, so it will play on every computer currently in production. A small application is installed, and you must keep the CD in for all the multimedia effects to be operative. The CD tends to be a little bit loud, and when I was auditioning it in my PowerBook, it got on my nerves after a while, but I mean, it's not something to have you not be interested in the product, but realize there is some noise from the CD. There's some chugging and some CD cycling as it goes through its motions of grabbing the audio and video tracks. Playing music has several components, and I'll try to be as focused as possible. There's a wonderful recital selection by a terrific young pianist called Frederick Chu, and he explains to you while he's performing about how to interpret the classical pieces that he's playing and why he plays certain things in certain ways. In addition, there's a very comprehensive bunch of creative and enjoyable and very cute, really quite charming, musical games and tutorials to allow you actually to change the way the music sounds yourself, in addition to learning what all the symbols and terms mean. And let's get this straight. We are talking about classical music here. You're not going to hear any heavy metal, rap, pop, country, blues, swing, soul, gospel, or any of that stuff. We're talking about classical music of absolutely the highest order, and the production values are really outstanding, and the quality of the playing and of the tutorials and of the cartoons and the little quizzes is really, really top-notch. On a Macintosh, your requirements are any version of OS 9 or OS 10 with a 400 megahertz PowerPC G3 processor or faster with 128 megs of RAM. So it's hard to imagine a computer of the last 5 or 6 years that wouldn't be able to play and enjoy and work with Playing Music by Morton Subotnick and Viva Media. Frederick Chu is both a terrific performer and a really good teacher. He offers master classes with videos in addition to his great performances, and they're actually live video performances of him playing well-known classical pieces by the composers Prokofiev, Debussy, Chopin, and Robert Schumann. The overall purpose of Playing Music is to have beginning learners understand about using expression when playing a piece of music. That is the goal. Now, many of you know I'm a pianist and guitarist, and mostly a pop musician, but I do teach classical jazz and pop right now to a bunch of youngsters and also some adults. And learners of all ages can benefit from the lessons and the tutorials. They're very non-threatening and really very friendly and warm and fuzzy, if such a thing can be said about music instruction. Navigation throughout the different components in playing music is really quite straightforward, and on any screen you can exit that screen and get back to any previous screen, meaning it's easy to go forward and back from wherever you happen to be within the different components of the tutorial and entertainment CD. When you're doing one of the quizzes, which has you choose between two different aspects of musical expression that's impossible for me to describe, when you get it right, a very polite voice says, "Try again," or "Not quite." But if you get it right, she says, "Excellent," or "You've got it." And in the quiz segments, it does actually keep score, so you can see how your knowledge is improving as you go through the tutorials over time. I repeat that the audio and the video quality of Mr. Chu and his performance and his tutorials is really quite good, and the performances alone and his interpretation of them is certainly worth a vast majority of the $30 modest price. I think the pricing is particularly favorable on hearing music. Did I say hearing music? I meant playing music. Excuse me. With regard to criticisms, the aforementioned noisy CD factor definitely takes it down about half a point, and we could use a bit more instruction and perhaps a bit less performance. I think if they could beef up the instructional part, that would be good. Now, this is not a universal application, but it is a CD, so it doesn't need to be universal. Any CD player on any Macintosh or Windows computer will be able to handle it. It doesn't need to be designated as universal, so we don't need to give it a demerit for that. I'd like to encourage all of you parents and children and anybody who really wants to advance your understanding of using expression to play classical music to seriously consider getting this $30 CD, and let's rate it at 4 out of 5. Let's give it a good strong recommendation with some minor criticisms, but overall what they're doing at Viva Media and what Mr. Morton Subotnick is doing with his team is certainly admirable, and we are very happy to have an early release copy that we can recommend. This concludes Nemo's first edition of All Over the Mac, and I believe this will be on My Mac Mini Podcast number 11. If I'm off by one, forgive me. But thanks so much for listening, and we really appreciate you downloading and listening every week to the My Mac Mini Podcast and our original podcast that takes place with Tim Chad and, quite often, Guy Searle. Thanks, everybody. Signing off until next time.
Robert Hazelrig from the Jersey Shore here. And today I want to tell you about a nifty little idea that I had. And if you have an older generation iPod that still connects to your hard drive via FireWire, you might want to check this tip out. Did you know that FireWire drives are bootable? Well, ever since my third generation iPod battery had died, I wasn't exactly sure what to do with it. Should I get a new battery for it? It didn't seem worth it since I already had a fifth-gen iPod and a Nano. What do I need a third iPod for? I had asked a bunch of people for their ideas, and I came up with my own. Wouldn't it be handy if I had a small little portable hard drive that I could boot from and would have all the repair tools on it that I could possibly need for troubleshooting Macintosh computers? Well, that's exactly what I did. Now, this idea will work with any FireWire iPod that has at least 2 gigs on it. You're going to need that for the OS and any utility applications you might have. You'll also need a legal copy of Mac OS X on an install disk, and you should be good. So what you need to do is put your Mac OS X installation disk into your CD-ROM drive and boot from the CD drive. attach your FireWire iPod to the computer and go ahead and proceed to install macOS 10 on the iPod. Now, I chose to do a erase and install. That way it cleaned everything off the hard drive before I did the install. If you plan on doing an erase and install, you definitely want to back up any music that you have on the iPod before you do this, because erase and install does exactly what it says it's going to do. Then I went through all the options that I could and turned off everything that I could think of that I would not need. So, for instance, I didn't install any printer drivers, I didn't install any foreign languages or foreign fonts, and I also turned off any unnecessary applications that I could think that just wouldn't be necessary, such as a Microsoft Office test drive. The installation went smoothly, and then when it was time to restart, instead of just restarting, I restarted and held down the Option button. This brings up a little window that allows you to choose between the different hard drives that are attached to your computer. When I went through this process during the installation, I named my iPod the Repair Pod. So when the splash screen came up, I just selected the Repair Pod, and then I booted from the iPod. After booting from the iPod, I went through the software updater and I updated all the software that I thought was relevant, repaired permissions, and then proceeded to install all the disk utilities that I had laying around, such as TechTool Pro, Data Rescue 2, and of course, Disk Warrior. Now, if you've got a 2 gig nano that's laying around, this will work. It will be a tight squeeze, but you can get it on there. If you have a larger hard drive, you may just want to install everything on there. All your applications, even some of your photos and things like that. That way, if your hard drive goes down, say you have a laptop, you got a backup. So once you've done all this, you've got a really handy tool for if your computer ever goes down. If you have any type of issues, you can always just boot up from the Repair Pod and then troubleshoot your Mac. So that's it. And you've just built yourself a portable, bootable toolbox, and it fits in your pocket. Isn't that nice? I hope you enjoyed my tip. This has been Robert Hazelrigg from the Jersey Shore. Thanks for listening.
So tomorrow we're going to the Apple store. We've got a bunch of stuff to give away.
Oh my God, do we.
And I'm really looking forward to it. I got raffle tickets in the trunk of my car right now.
Yeah, we'll see how much they
Let us do. I don't see why they would be upset with us giving stuff away, but they may not want us to give that much stuff away, because I've got two more boxes at home, Guy, that you haven't seen yet that I'm bringing up tomorrow.
You were talking to your wife about it.
Yeah, and so we've got some stuff to give away, and if Apple doesn't allow us to do it, then we're just going to have to do it afterwards at the brewery right down the road. So hopefully, here's the thing. I don't know how many people are going to be there because we're podcasting. They're obviously going to be busy on a Saturday between 3 and 4.
Yeah, most Apple stores are busier on the weekends.
Right. So we'll see how many people actually come in and come up and talk to us. But we've got a lot of listeners in this area, and I'm hoping that some of them do show up. And if they don't. We'll still have fun talking to people.
Certainly.
Do you have any ideas what we can do over there? It's going to be a crowd interaction thing. It has to be.
Yeah, I think kind of like this conversation we're having right now, it's going to be pretty much spontaneous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way this podcast in general has always been.
Yeah. When we start doing the giveaways, let's start small with podcast.
So?
You know, somebody walks by, we'll throw a podcast case at their head.
Well, these are aluminum podcast cases, so that might not be a good knock them out or something.
The Apple stores have insurance.
The skull dented, but the iPods plus.
They're safe. They're safe. Damn it! It'll keep playing. Takes a lick and it keeps. No, I'm not going there either.
No. We got some really cool stuff, and a lot of the stuff we're giving away, I know for a fact, Apple doesn't have in that store.
The number one piece that we have is Microsoft Office.
I would say definitely. Well, from a price point, sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, even from a user standpoint, this is something that unless you already have it,
right,
everybody can use.
Right.
Or, absolutely. And so that's a $400 program we're just going to give away. And what would be really neat, if someone's actually in there looking at it, we can say, hold on a minute.
What's your ticket number?
Take a
ticket here, and you can actually win a copy of that. We got to figure out when we're going to start giving stuff away. Do we just kind of start the podcast? We got a few people signing up.
What I propose is that you take up how many things you've got to give away, divide it by the number of minutes you're going to be recording, and every X minutes, that's when you give it away. So if you got 20 items.
I don't know if we can be that structured, though.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty hard. I think we're just going to go by...
Structure is not my life.
No. And the other... I've been wondering...
Ask my wife.
I've been wondering how many people are going to want to come up and get a ticket. Where it may just be, we pull up a product and point at someone and go, hey, would you like a free iPod case? And mm-hmm. hand it to them. That's even more surprising for
if
someone.
If they say no, we just cram it right down.
That's right. You're going to take it anyway.
Well, case. Either that or since they're going to be setting up right next to the checkout, you could always intercept them. Hey, you buying a new iPod? How'd you like a case for that?
There you go.
Yeah.
For free.
Of course, Apple might get mad if they have an iPod case in their hand. Hey, instead of buying it from Apple, we're just going to give it to you.
Then they shouldn't put us right next to the cash register where they said they're going to set us up, right?
I thought the cash register was up front.
No, I think it's back there.
That's
yeah.
in the back part.
It's in the back, yeah. Because the other place you're thinking of, that's the Genius Bar.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, you see, in the Northern Virginia area, we have about four or five Apple stores.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're of different shapes and sizes. And the one that's most like the one here in Grand Rapids is the one they have at the Pentagon City.
More of a boutique.
It's more of a boutique kind of thing. Whereas you have the Tyson's Corner store, which I think was the very first one. And you have the one in Clarendon, which is the one I normally go to. These are both pretty big stores. So I guess I'm just kind of used to the bigger layout.
Yeah. And there's something to be said that the bigger layouts probably attract more people. But
there's a lot more wasted space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too, because I didn't see anything in the Clarendon store in Virginia that I didn't see in the Grand Rapids store.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's got all the same stuff, it's just more...
Compact.
Yeah, here it is.
Yeah, it's right there. Aren't you wishing that you can just somehow get up here and podcast with us tomorrow, Chad?
That would be fun. I miss him.
He's chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
It's our 100th... Oh, I just heard thunder outside.
It's our 100th episode.
100th episode. Guy flies in all the way from Virginia to be here.
Virginia.
Yeah. And you're going to be out brushing hay.
Yeah, pretty much.
What the hay?
Lots of
hay.
We need to take pictures tomorrow, and I'm thinking of some video work possibly as well.
Okay, I didn't, but I'm sure
you've got. That we could just probably stick on a tripod and just record the whole damn thing from behind us. I don't know how interesting that would be for
anybody to watch. Wow, look at the back of Guy and Tim's head.
But it would be something that I could send to you on a DVD just as kind of a keepsake.
I love it.
This is obviously other people that podcasted from the Apple Store, Twit, for instance.
Right.
They go to that big one and they have huge audiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have huge audiences, but that's kind of the mecca of Apple anyway, so it's not going to be hard for them to draw a crowd. We're in the Midwest, West Michigan. Apple is big as far as Mac users, and iPod users are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be easy for us to draw in a crowd, but to me, this is something special. This is Apple. The company is allowing us to come in and broadcast our show from their store.
I know, and they haven't even featured us in iTunes since we've been broadcasting for almost 2 years now.
We don't want to go there.
I know.
You know, that does bother me, and I know I've talked about that on the other podcast, but it is irritating.
Keep digging there, Chad.
That's right.
Keep digging.
You know, Tim, they still haven't featured us. So, man, we've been recording for 28 minutes already.
Holy cow.
It's still going.
It seems like it's longer, but yet it doesn't.
It just goes really, really fast.
It does.
Of course, how interesting people will find our meanderings
debatable. That's a debate. But here's the thing that I was telling Chad. I said, you know, Guy always records by himself.
Yeah.
He's never done a group type of
podcast. No, I haven't. I've never done anything as far as recording in a live session either.
Right. No, well, neither have I.
No, that's true.
Yeah, it's gonna. Well, let me back up. I took broadcasting classes and we did stuff like that. In fact, in high school, I would have a camera crew, and I used to wear these great big huge furry slippers. And I would literally, unannounced, I would tell the teacher I'm coming in ahead of time, of course, but unannounced, we would just walk into a class and interview students. It was going to be this thing called...
While wearing big fuzzy slippers?
Yes, that was the catch. That was the funny part.
I'm almost afraid to ask what you named the show.
It was going to be a video yearbook. Going to take all these pieces and put them together, and then they could buy a VHS copy of it at the end of the year. Never came about.
VHS,
I don't know why.
VHS or Super VHS?
No, it was VHS. And, you know, we had a boom mic. We had, at the time, a great camera. Now it looked like crap. I can go back and look at it and go, oh, what were we doing? A corded mic that was half blown. I mean, it was just horrible. it sounded like I was talking very nasally. Mm. It was just the microphone. And I would just walk in the class, and I never had a problem engaging people.
Right.
And getting them to join in on the fun. I remember there was this one guy.
It was the big fuzzy slippers.
I think so. There was this one guy, his name was Derek. Off-coming.
Well, I think if he'd wear the silk nightie with it, he probably would have got a better response. But
well, yeah, but then the police probably would have had to.
Yeah. There was this one guy named Derek.
This was the 80s, though.
Everybody was kind of scared of Derek. I never found him too scary. I mean, he had a Jerry curl, for Christ's sake. How scary is anybody with a Jerry curl, you know? But I always liked Derek, but everybody was always kind of leery of him. Ooh, don't just go up to Derek and talk to him because he's kind of crazy.
What was that product they had on in that movie? Soul Glow.
Yes. Yeah. I walked in and I made a beeline for him sitting in class and just interviewed him right there, and it was great. Mm-hmm. And at the end, you know,
did you have to wipe the microphone down afterwards?
He mentions my furry slippers. And on camera, I put them right up on the desk right in front of him. He's like, those slippers are down. I got me a pair of those for $8.99. And I'm like, no, $7.99 at Kmart. He's like, $7.99? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, oh, I got ripped off for a dollar. Yeah, that was great. And everybody's like, oh, I couldn't believe you did that. And I'm like, why?
Well, because and plus
he's got a sense of humor. He's going to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the camera's going. So
yeah, so he's not going to beat the crap out of me.
Your Honor, we would like to introduce this evidence.
Evidence, Exhibit 1. So, engaging the audience tomorrow, I don't think will be a problem at all.
Most people like being on
camera. We don't have any signage, which I've been thinking about the whole time. We probably should have got some signage to put out. Broadcasting live, the MyMac.com podcast, blah, blah, blah. So people, at least when they walk in, know what the hell's going on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right now, they're going to walk in and just see two guys with some microphones talking. And unless we yell, they're not going to hear us. I almost wish they would, and maybe we'll address this tomorrow. I think I would rather be towards the front of the store when they first walk in than in the back of the store.
Now, are you still thinking about doing a wireless mic? Because it'll plug into this probably.
It's probably too late. It's almost 7 o'clock Friday night to try to find a wireless mic, test it, make sure it works. That would kind of be a pain. So we're going to be tethered.
Maybe there'll be something we could find at the Apple Store.
I don't think so. I don't remember seeing any. In fact, we went to the Apple Store today, and then we went to CompUSA.
Yeah.
CompUSA actually had microphones right there in the Mac section. No wireless ones. No. But at least they had stuff that you could use with GarageBand.
Maybe you need to send Alicia Smith
a lot of them audio stuff.
Alicia Smith was the reporter who came out and interviewed Chad and I for the WWMT Channel 3 news. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see that?
You guys had that posted.
I think
I did see it. You should put that on YouTube for other people to see it.
Yeah,
you still have it.
Idea.
I mean, it was only like what, 5 minutes or so?
Yeah, it was pretty. Yeah, it was about 5 minutes. That was pretty strange because that was very focused in our area, obviously.
Right,
and I had a lot of people call me up to say, I saw you on the news.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know. I noticed the cameras. We actually had Alicia Smith, the lady who came out to interview us, on our show. We actually interviewed her a little bit on the podcast. Yeah, that was fun to do. So I think we're going to have a good time tomorrow. I think we're going to...
Too bad you couldn't have got a hold of her for the 100th podcast.
I probably should have sent out some press releases more than it. Although Mac Minute did post a news thing on it. Mm-hmm. The MyMac.com podcast will be recording their 100th podcast at the Grand Rapids, Michigan Apple Store.
We could only have gotten the Grand Rapids Apple Store
to yeah.
have it on there.
Yeah, that would have been nice. I also had contacted a couple user groups in this area, both of which said that they would send out...
A representative?
Well, that they would let their members know that mm-hmm. we're going to be there and we're going to give away almost $2,000 worth of Mac goodies. And we'll see. We also had a scheduled interview for tomorrow with Dan Knight, the publisher of Low-End Mac, but we haven't heard back from him yet, so we're hoping that that still goes through. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Things happen. He's probably a busy guy. He's got a life outside the Mac universe, as we all do.
But, you
do? Well, I wonder sometimes. I wonder. So this is about 35 minutes. Do you want to wrap it up, or do you guys want to keep going? It's up to you.
Well, real quick, if we're going to wrap it up, I just wanted to say happy birthday to my brother Larry, who is of an age that I'm not going to say.
Belated by but the time this gets posted.
Yeah, but he's a little bit older than me.
Oh, you know, I was going to ask that we... I was kind of going there, and I think we got sidetracked about the two podcasts. Would it make sense to maybe do away with the two podcasts and go back to one?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think... And that was kind of what I was talking about with Inside Mac Minute, was that... You start getting much over an hour, and a lot
you're
of times,
losing them. Yeah,
people just don't have the time to sit there and listen to it all the way through.
Right, and people don't want to listen to the same show, even part two the next day, part of it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could take what we're doing here today, and instead of having it as show 101 or show, you know, whatever, right. 102, you could actually use a good part of this, maybe break it up a little bit and put it on the mini podcast.
Yeah, that's an idea, too. Absolutely. We might just do that. Mm-hmm. I think that would probably work real well. The problem is there's nothing for Chad and I to segue into when we need to. Mm-hmm. Right now, we literally stop recording and then bring in, like, the interview guest or what have
right.
you. And it's pretty much straight through. With the segments, we had an opportunity to stop recording for a minute.
Right.
Get our thoughts together, drop in the segment, and then continue. And that really helped the kind of, for us anyways, the flow of the show. We don't have that now. So I'm thinking...
Well, did you want me to... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm thinking about simply moving Not Mac News back to the original show and not part of...
Mini show?
The mini show.
And, well, and the thing is, typically Not Mac News is only going to be, at most... 2 to 3 minutes.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the dashboard minute, at times, depending on what it was I was talking
you
about.
You went 8 minutes sometimes. I mean,
yeah, if I started getting, like, you know, diarrhea of the keyboard, I would just keep rolling and rolling and rolling
yeah.
some of it.
You know. Now, did you script all your Not Mac News as
well? Yes, I did. Every single, other dashboard than, minutes. Except for the last five, where, yeah. I was, mm-hmm. where I was talking about ones I'd already reviewed. But even then, you know, I mean, I've got...
You had notes. Yeah,
yeah, I've got all the different scripts that I've done for the 45 previous ones. And I would just go through them and say, well, I really like that one, and I really like that
yeah.
one. And I would just pull mm-hmm. those out, and I wouldn't read it verbatim, but a good portion of what I was talking about, I already talked about in the previous Dashboard Minute.
Chad and I tried to script a few times, but it...
Oh, no. Too wooden.
Well, we did script Sergeant Perry out.
Yeah.
I mean, that
but
was
that's,
completely
that's
scripted out.
Though.
Mm-hmm. And that was actually hard to write. Chad is a Chad Perry, Sergeant Perry. Obviously, everybody knew he was Sergeant Perry.
He is.
I wrote the script, and Chad would do it. And originally, I was going to do it. That was going to be my
no,
little
I
thing.
I think Chad. Has
well, I had did it. I did it, and then Chad was cracking up, and then he read it, and I was like, "Oh, dude, you're doing it," and it tears his voice up. He's like, "Oh," afterwards, like. Did you like our argument in the one podcast?
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, we had to throw that in there. That was actually the second one we did. We had done another argument that didn't you? You laughed in the first one though, right?
Oh yeah, I was.
He started laughing.
You started throwing out some lines, and I couldn't hold it in. But
I'm very. When it comes to improv, I think that's my strong point. I will improv and just go off on a rant and not stop. And I've shown that a little bit on the podcast in the past, especially when I'll start talking faster and not. And just go with it.
Comcast.
Yeah, Comcast. Yeah. And,
Well, really, that was all the brainchild of Mazin. It was Mazin that made us do that whole argument to begin with.
Yeah, because his comments were, you know, I never hear you guys complaining about putting the podcast together. So I said to Chad, I go, wouldn't it be funny if, like, we come back out of that and we're arguing about it sucks putting this podcast together. And it didn't really turn into it sucks doing this podcast. It turned into, why did you start recording already, bastard? And he's like, well, this. And then I'm like, well, I'm most of the podcast anyway. Oh, where do we record the podcast? Going back in. No, that was
very funny.
It was all that wasn't written out. That was just improv.
Yeah. Well, it took me, and you know, I'm not always the quickest on the uptake. It took me about 20 seconds before I realized that you guys were just goofing on it. At first, I was thinking, "Wow, do they know that they're recording this?"
And then, should we let it in? Should we give the big thing that we were planning for a long time up? Because we're probably never going to do it.
Oh, yeah. That was something.
This was when podcasting was still fairly new. This was over a year ago. And we actually set it up just a little bit on one show, but we never followed up. What it was somebody was going to be writing us emails, and we would read this person's emails on the show. And it would be way off the wall.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, that you're like, what is this guy? And we would literally rip this guy a new one on the podcast for such stupid ideas. And why would you email us this? You're insane.
Now, if you really wanted to set that up right, you set them up with a blog someplace in like blogosphere.
Yeah, that could have would work too. But this was just going to be getting a fan who sends us these very strange emails, and they were progressively going to get over 4 or 5 episodes. Crazier and crazier, where this person may actually be dangerous.
So then we were going to see if we could get.
Well, he already agreed.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law.
Who was the cameraman for the MacMod.
MacMod.
Is Jim.
What was going to happen? Chad and I were going to start a podcast. Maybe we would mention that we got another letter from so and so, but we weren't going to read them anymore.
Right.
And then on the next show, we weren't going to mention it at all. And Chad's wife obviously was going to have to be a part of this. And she had agreed to, hadn't she?
I think
we could have gotten. Yeah, she'd have done it. What we're going to do? We're going to be in the middle of the show, about 15 minutes into it, and you're going to hear some yelling from far in the background, and this person is going to burst into the room, and we're going to act like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be Jim. Jim was is still my brother-in-law. Very creative guy. Yeah. And when we told him about the idea, he was all for it. He was ready. But the problem is, he lives 2 hours away. Yeah. So for him to come up and do it would have been a special trip for him.
Right.
Plus, Chad and I kind of dropped the ball as the show got more popular. We started having second thoughts about doing this. So this guy was going to come in, demand that he be part of the show. When he saw Chad or I go to stop recording, he was going to produce a knife.
Oh, no.
And tell us we're going to finish recording. And that we're going to post this show before he leaves. He was actually going to stab either... Was it you or me?
I think me.
He was going to stab Chad.
Did you guys take a vote on that?
Yeah.
He was going to get stabbed in the leg.
Mm-hmm.
And Chad had it kind of rehearsed already about the...
The blood.
Well, how he was going to react, the vocal. You want to give a demonstration on how you're going to, or not? It's up to you. Yeah. And he was going to hit the floor, and he was going to be moaning. And
yeah.
Look at the sound levels on that.
Yeah, I know. That one jumped up. Every headphones just went, holy crap. So, and then he was going to get stabbed.
My ears are bleeding.
And Jim was going to read this manifesto.
Yeah.
And force us to upload this podcast. And so it wouldn't end normally. It would be him real close to the mic telling us, all right, stop recording it and make it an MP3. I want to see it on your site. And then, boom, it would stop right there. So when you downloaded it, it would be a normal podcast. And then all of a sudden, you'd hear all this ruckus. It would get crazy, and then the podcast would end. And then we weren't going to update anything at mymac.com for at least a week. Everything would just go completely silent.
Oh, my God.
And... But you got to figure, though, this was when podcasting was still relatively new, where anything goes.
Right.
Nobody had done anything like this. We figured we wouldn't let anybody else in on staff that this was bullshit. Mm-hmm. Nobody would know that this was off stage because we had never done anything like that before. It's always been kind of a semi-serious show. We had, you know, funny ha-ha, but it's always been a serious show.
Right.
And then here's this, all of a sudden, this... podcast that ends like this. We weren't going to advertise it or nothing. We figured a couple people would download it and start spreading the word. Dude, did you listen to that podcast? I don't know if it's real or not. They won't answer their emails. Nothing's been posted up there. Nothing.
Almost Orson Welles.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And we were going to see how far it went before we let everybody in on the gag.
War of the podcasts.
I think it probably would have went pretty big.
Oh, that would have been great.
You unfortunately, know? It also could have ended up on like NPR or some sort of...
No, that's not... That, no, what do you mean? Unfortunate. That would have been great. Are you kidding? That would have been...
Yeah, but then when it blows up in our face that it's all been staged...
We never would have pretended otherwise, though. We never would have said, well, no, we were just doing that to trick everybody and let everybody think that Chad was... It was always a gag. It was always meant to get attention.
If it got really bad, you could produce like a bag of Chad's blood or something.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, a little fake newspaper clipping. And,
but Chad, you have to stab you in the leg so you get a hospital record.
That was the idea. And I think it probably would have been pretty big event. I think the first couple days, we wouldn't have heard anything. And then it kind of would have grown.
I think you would have heard something as soon as people started listening to it.
Because we were going to play it so straight up. That, you know, Chad was going to sound like he was really, really hurt. There was going to be a lot of profanity. I mean,
how unlike you guys.
Yeah, it would have sounded real. When you're done, when he says, all right, I want to see it uploaded, and it stopped right then, you would have sent chills like, well, they obviously did, because, well, what happened? Did the guy leave, or what's going on? You know, he would have explained how he found us.
But do you have any friends in the police department in your area?
No. Well, not really.
Yeah, you could have had a couple of... Just have them drive by with their lights on or something, take some pictures and post it later. See how far you could take it.
It could have... I think it would have been cool
Could still just cut this whole section out and still do it.
But we could do the dead hooker one. Chad, you play the hooker.
No. Not in my hotel room.
Yeah. Yeah, these walls would be hard to get all the blood off.
Yeah.
So, but that was our idea. We never did it. I kind of wish we would have, just to see how big our show could have gotten with a stunt like that. Plus, it would have just been really cool to be the first podcast to do anything like that, to try to, you know, a real serious podcast, and then all of a sudden something tragically wrong happens. And then you're just left in the dark.
Well, for some podcasts, that's every week.
Yeah, true. That's very true.
My God, it's going tragically wrong.
And sometimes it's this show. Well, we're getting some rain out here today.
Yes, we are. Lots of lightning, too.
Yeah. Well, we're in a MacBook Pro, so we're completely safe.
You're plugged in the power, though.
Yeah, that's true. I think we're going to wrap it up now. We're at almost 48 minutes, so... Wow. After we drop in the intro and the exit.
That's like amazing how quickly that goes.
It does.
Do you like that every single time you guys do the show?
Sometimes, no. Most of the time, yes. There's times that we forget to change the tempo. See, in GarageBand, we changed the tempo to 40. That allows us to record for
longer,
like 2 hours.
Yeah. Right.
The 120, it stops at like 58 and a half minutes. And we've been recording before, and we look over, realize it's at 120, and we're at 57 minutes, and we're like, we got to stop the show now. And there was a few that we actually broke up before we could change the tempo.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say before we figured out
that we can change.
A listener let us know of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that with the Dashboard Minute, it was more of a struggle to keep it under 5 minutes.
Yes. Sometimes it's hard to keep it short and sweet.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
since the name of the show was the Dashboard
the Minute. Yeah. The whole idea was a minute.
A minute.
But then again, you never said it was the Dashboard a minute or 1 minute. It was the Dashboard 5 minutes.
Minutes.
That's true.
So I left it to your own imagination.
Well, we could stop this one and just, you know, here's the thing though, if we do split this up
over a couple of minis,
three or four minis, whatever. Who cares how long we record right now?
Mm-hmm. True.
And besides, I'm having fun. This is probably going to be better than the Apple Store experience tomorrow. Wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Well, hopefully I'll be feeling a little better tomorrow.
Yeah, guy is very stuffy.
Yeah, stuffy. That's a good word. I started feeling ill yesterday and went home early from work and got up this morning. And if it hadn't have been such a an auspicious occasion of being the 100th podcast, and the fact that I'd already paid for the flights in the hotel room, I might have begged off. But I'm glad I didn't, because thanks to the miracle of modern pills,
Chad. Well, we're glad you didn't beg off, too. I mean, when you originally suggested coming up here for the 100th podcast...
You thought I was kidding.
Well, not that I thought you were kidding. I thought, well, he's going to find out how much it's probably going to cost. And no. He's thinking, well, you know, it's just the MyMac podcast, and probably not worth going all the way to Grand Rapids to do. But I'm glad you changed your mind.
Oh, I never changed my mind.
Well, you know what I mean. I'm glad you actually did. Because, number one, we've never met in person, and you've been with the site for 2.5-3 years now. We've talked on the phone a couple times. But it's different when you meet people in person.
Well, having met me, how would you describe me?
Tall.
Yes, that's tall.
That is true.
Guy, not too many people make me feel short, but Guy makes me feel... I'm almost 6 foot. I mean, I'm 6 foot 11. But
you're 6 foot 11?
5 foot 11. Yeah. Well, well, never mind. I'm not going to say what I was going to say there.
Yeah, thank you. Cole Andy.
Only if I'm wearing a... Only if I'm wearing
inside
a top
joke.
Hat.
Inside joke.
Yeah, I would say tall. More than Willow's Peak.
Yeah. Okay. No, you can go
gray,
ahead and say
gray
it.
Hair.
Bald.
Gray hair.
No, it's not
with
gray.
It's
not gray.
It's blonde.
It's blonde.
It's very, very blonde.
There
it's
you
platinum.
Go.
Yeah.
Platinum
in a hair. In a ponytail. We were curious, because the only picture I've ever seen was a really crappy picture with Guy and Captain America.
Which kind of
Mac
sums
Jams.
Up my life.
Was it Mac Jams?
Eye Composition.
That's what it was, yeah. And so we weren't quite... I had an idea of what he looked like, but all these guys kept walking off that kind of looked like maybe that could be him, but they just weren't radiating the personality that we were looking
expected.
For. And then here comes a guy in jeans, tennis shoes, a black t-shirt that says, "In Mac We Trust." And he waved at us, "Hey, oh, that's the guy right there."
Well, actually, there was that blonde that was behind you. But
yeah, well, you know, but she wasn't looking at you, so.
Yeah, I know.
She was looking at
you.
Well, they were looking at Chad's butt. I mean, if it's you or Chad's butt right there in her.
Yeah, I lose out.
Yeah. I like.
My wife tells me I have a flat butt. Yeah. I won't ask for your opinion.
Well, what did you. Well, obviously, you've seen us in video reviews and stuff like that, so there was no mystery in what we look like. But
no.
Is it different in person than.
No, to be honest, just from listening to the podcasts over the last. Year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Almost 2 years now.
Yeah, almost two years. Meeting you guys in person and just, you know, kind of shooting the breeze with you. We met, we went to the Apple Store, went out to, got some dinner, lunch, whatever you want to call it.
It was litter.
Yeah, litter.
It kind of tasted like litter, parts of it.
No, that's not, they don't sponsor us either, so.
Yeah.
Had a nice waitress.
Yes.
But she was very nice.
Yeah, and Guy flirted some more.
And, of course, it went absolutely nowhere.
That's right.
As it always does.
We wouldn't let it go anywhere, Tracy. Don't worry. I know she doesn't listen to this.
Oh, anymore. She'll listen to this one.
Yeah. I know Chad's wife never does, and my wife, they never listen to the podcast.
Well,
never.
I can't even get my wife to use a podcast. She's got a, it's not like a 95 Nissan Maxima that she had a aftermarket CD player put in.
Yeah.
And the AM/FM radio is so old in this thing that it's like this lit up yellow background.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all frosted out, so you can't even tell what station you're putting on. And I was telling her, I said, well, you know, if I can get you an iPod, and you've got these two wooden crates of CDs that you carry around in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, you've got an iTunes thing set up on the kid's iMac upstairs. I said, I can just pull all this stuff that you have on these CDs and put it in an iPod, and instead of carrying around all these crates of crap, you've just got it all here on this one little device.
Doesn't want to do it.
But she doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, women, not all women. I don't want to stereotype anybody, but...
Oh, we can do that. It's our
show. Yeah. I think that men are much more accepting of new technologies than women seem to be. I don't know why that is. And that, again, that's not true of all women.
I think it goes back to the caveman days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would be the first ones to, you know, step off that cliff and then reach the bottom and realize that probably wasn't a good idea in the first place.
I would also say that
Look, honey, I got a spare wall. I can put an animal up here. Yeah. How do you like that? Oh, great, another stupid hunting story.
Yeah, exactly.
Good evening. This is Not Mac News with your host, Guy Searle, part of the Miracle News Network. If it's good news, it's a miracle. Send your thoughts, comments, threats, lawsuits, and evil Wiccan spells to notmacnews@gmail.com. Dateline, Chicago, Illinois. While the Apple iPod was not the world's first digital music player, it can be said without a question of a doubt that it is currently the most successful. Its blend of style, elegance, and ease of use with Apple's iTunes software has made it number one in almost every market it competes in. It can also be said that there is plenty of room for competitors, as the still untapped market for people who haven't purchased a digital music player is much larger than those who have. In the spirit of that announcement, Quaker Oats, the company best known for its breakfast products, has decided to throw their hat into the digital music age. The company announced at a press conference that their latest product, Captain Crunch with MP3 players, will be available soon. The player will have 64 megs of flash RAM, a USB 2 interface, will work with any computer except for Apple's Macintosh line, and will keep playing even in milk. Potential users will have to download software from the Quaker Oats site and provide their name, address, telephone number, a major credit card, and a promise punishable by death that they will only consume Quaker Oats products for breakfast. The company has also said that depending on the success of their first offering, Life cereal would most likely be next in line with MP3 players in both cinnamon and honey graham flavors. The press conference broke into pandemonium after the new RIAA representatives, Tony the Tiger and Toucan Sam, raised concerns about one of Quaker Oats' former cereal mascots, the pirate Jean Lafitte, and the morally questionable living arrangements in Massachusetts of retired cereal pitchmen Quisp and Quake. Not Mac News, making the world safe for obviously fictitious news. I'm Guy Searle, and I wish you a pleasant good evening.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.